ready to body fucking yaw people.
Yeah. Pretender.
Yeah. Right? Mm-hmm.
Remember, why don't we just fuck up the song for them? Away.
Here we go now.
Here we go. Here we go, buddy. Yeah. Fucking happy hour. Allie Willis is here, songwriter of that Stop Pounding, of that song and so many others. Grammy winner. I can't believe it's taken us this long to get you.
Lily
Tomlin, our good friend, our mutual friend, has done this. We've had a lot of amazing happy hour guests.
You
are the most fucking fascinating woman alive.
Ooh,
ladies and gentlemen, she... Grammy winner for that one, any number of Earth, Wind, and Fire hits. Pointer Sisters, my fucking favorites. I'll Be There for You, the Friends theme song by the Rembrandts. You are, I was just saying this.
Yeah.
We've known each other years and years.
Yeah.
And I'm doing prep on my fucking friend, Vanessa. And I was like, Jesus Christ, what? You did what?
You learn more and more. I know. It's 8 pages of...
You understand the highlight of my life? One of the highlights of my life. I got to go to Allie Willis's home studio to listen to the music for The Color Purple on Broadway.
As we were writing it.
As they were writing it before the show became a huge Tony Grammy winning hit. And you sang, you sound remarkably like a black man. I don't know how.
Always. People,
but you sang the original.
People think I am a black man.
I don't understand. I was like, oh my God, who is that? Did you get? And you're like, that's me on that track. I was like, you, what?
What? Well, that was Barry White.
Oh, that happens all the time. No, what? Really, when people meet me, they go, oh my God, I thought you were black. Oh my God, I thought you were a man.
Right.
Yeah. Well, both partially correct. But,
my show on Sirius XM, for some reason, there's a seriously, to this day, there's a picture of Stephanie Mills when my show comes up.
I'm sorry, it's Stephanie Mills, it's black woman. It's a Stephanie Miller show.
So no, people totally, and then also we've had people go to my Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Resistance tour, and they've been sitting next to people, and they're like, her voice is so fantastic. And they're like, what? And they're like, they thought they were to Stephanie Mills.
I wrote for Stephanie Mills, by the way. Don't ask me what, but I know that's on my discography.
Not The Wiz? Did you enjoy me in The Wiz?
I wrote The Wiz.
He's on down the road.
Let's do our own version of The Wiz, where we can both claim to have done it.
Exactly. You're wearing your pussy hat. This is fantastic.
Well, not really.
Not really? Pussy.
I actually do have 3 pussy hats. This
well, of course you do.
Of course. Of the color.
I feel like we need like a 5-hour happy hour for you.
I'm ready.
And I can't believe we've only gotten to this now, because you are... I didn't know what to say. We met through mutual friends. Lily Tomlin's our good mutual friend. You've done her website. It's hard to... Okay, here's what you're described as, because I'm like, I don't know. She's just my friend.
Okay.
Allie Willis, American songwriter, artist, set designer, multimedia artist, writer, collector, director. You're okay, 1995, nominated for an Emmy for your number one hit, I'll Be There for You. The
yes, and you know what
Friends.
We lost the Emmy to?
Wow, that...
What, the Friends
whatever
theme?
It is fucking sucks.
And try and sing it. The theme from Deep Space Nine.
What? That's bullshit.
What?
I'm calling fucking bullshit.
I fucking
25
agree.
Years later.
Because crazy. For years, people. No, it only happens once.
Okay, go ahead.
It only happens once.
Oh. Has it been your day, your week, your month? Even though you're here, I'll be there for you. When the rain stops to fall, I'll be there for you. Like I've been there before. Cause you're there for me too.
That's great.
Fantastic. Oh my God.
Hated it. Who when did? I wrote
you
it.
Told me this.
Yeah.
Who did? The Rembrandts?
The Rembrandts did it.
They're like, this will never go anywhere, Allie. Jesus Christ. No one You've lost your thing.
No one involved in it at all thought it would go anywhere. And it was instantaneous. It was never meant to be released as a single.
Right.
They the night the show came on the air, not that anyone thought the show was going to be a hit either.
No, that was obviously going to be bullshit. And
they only decided 3 weeks before to even have a song. They thought, well, anything we could have to try and promote this thing.
Yeah.
And, you know, if there were a hit, then, you know, that could work for that. So,
yeah.
You know, we put me, Michael Skloff, just like threw the thing together.
Yeah.
And then a DJ in Nashville made a cassette off the air the night of the first night it was on TV.
This is my baby producer. Cassettes, honey, there are things that come. I'll explain to you later.
Oh, that's so sweet.
Yeah.
And they played it back to back for 45 minutes straight. And so many people called in that then Warner Brothers said, okay, so we have to make this a single. And then the Rembrandts were, like, not working at that moment. So they got the gig.
Right.
And it's like no one thought this would
I'm not a musician of any kind, but the minute you hear that, you're like, hit! That's a hit! Yeah.
Oh, God, we didn't think so. But
did
you
write it based on a relationship? Because you have so many great close friends for so many years. Was that anywhere from your experience?
No. It was strictly, you know, they sent me a VHS tape.
Honey, we'll have a long talk later.
Pop into this giant machine?
Yes, those giant things.
Sweetie, before that, there were there were
what
A-tracks.
About those A-tracks and betas?
We had phone booths. Like all right, go ahead.
Amazing.
I forgot what I was saying. No, they sent me the pilot, and I save everything I write on because I'm way more interested in the process that it took to do something than I am in the final thing.
Right.
So it was 32 single-spaced pages
of
every lyric possible about just people who are dependent on each other, who will be there no matter what.
Yeah.
Not based
on... So that's not a real-life experience because we live in Hollywood where everyone's a treacherous backstabbing bastard. So it's sort of a fantasy song that you wrote about people that would conceivably, if you did not have Grammys, be your friend.
Yeah, but it was a huge surprise. And I only wrote it because I was trying to get out of my record deal. I never wanted to write songs again.
Yeah, listen, you know what? Pressure,
my publishing deal.
Fear focuses the mind, Allie.
I guess so. I owed a seventh of a song.
You wanted to be Django Unchained. You're like, I got to fucking do
I
something
was
for this
Django
sitcom.
For the whole, that whole publishing thing. But I owed a seventh of a song, and they said, write this,
this
and you're
This is close
out.
Enough, yeah. Oh, my God, did you see Meet the Millers, the movie with Jennifer
Aniston? Yes, and at the end.
Favorite outtake ever. So they're, you know, the whole family's in the, you know, the camper, they're playing songs, and so they didn't tell her, and they put on
I'll
Be There For You. And her reaction is priceless.
Yeah, no, it's just...
And they all start going...
I know, that clap. Well, for years... wherever I went, as soon as someone knew I wrote it or if they recognized me and, you know, whatever, right in my face, like those.
Yeah.
Right in there.
Okay, thank you.
And
all right, you're like spatial relations people.
Constant debate on how many claps there are.
How many are there?
Well, I never even knew for sure. There's only four, but most people think five. So you did five.
Oh, see? Oh, didn't know. It. Better. Okay, better.
Anyway.
You're younger, better reflexes.
Of all my work, but
I mean, isn't that amazing, winning these amazing hits for Earth, Wind, and Fire, Pointer Sisters, the power of television, where you're like, you're the Friends lady.
I thought it would ruin my reputation. I mean, it was without question the whitest song I've ever had anything to do with.
You're the blackest person I've ever met. No offense. I mean, really, like, such a compliment.
Oh, I mean, totally. I mean, all my breaks have come from the black side of things.
Yeah.
Not all, but most.
No, I mean, honestly, I don't know how the fuck I got invited to your home studio to listen to Color Purple, but I was like, this is fucking, Jesus, this is going to be huge.
That
like,
would have been maybe 2003 or 4, maybe.
Yeah. Yeah. We have so much to get to. I don't even know where to start because your house, that's a whole other.
Yeah, but you got the waterfall.
Well, as I told you, I just made that for you today. You remember, because we've been old friends, the time in prison, and remember there's a lot of the hard rock stuff
all
and the
that stuff.
Chain gang and stuff.
Yeah.
Okay, so, all right, but wait, how do we, how do we go back? How do we start with Earth, Wind, and Fire? Fuck. Okay, because we just sang September. So people that came to my Prince Memorial karaoke party that you came to.
Yeah.
And then we all sang September with you.
Yeah.
People still are like, I can die now. Because I've sung September with Ellie Willis.
That's nice.
Head of Prince.
Well, and then remember the karaoke? The lyrics were wrong, too.
I was... You're like, and the karaoke guy, she's like, I wrote it. That's wrong.
I'm telling him, though, those aren't the right lyrics. And it's like, how do you
that's
know?
Hilarious.
I wrote it.
She's like, no, ma'am. I'm like, she's not ma'am. She's fucking... Okay. All right. Boogie Wonderland. I mean, I don't even know where to start. You have... let's get into your songwriter brain in a minute, but let's first of all.
Oh, forever.
Let's
do a
talk
little Boogie Wonderland.
Walk into Boogie Land for a little bit. Yeah.
How can you not get up and dance to this song?
All right, she's up. She's up. She's up. She's thrusting.
What?
I mean, listen to the emoji. Good stories about this song. Like, what is this song about?
Who the fuck cares?
Well, it's a wonderland.
No,
because cares.
People come up to me all the time and go, oh my God, that's the happiest song
right?
I've ever heard.
Don't we need that now in this fucking dystopian, Trumpian
however,
shit show nightmare? You're just like,
however,
I don't, it's a wonderland where you fucking boogie.
However... It is about a woman on the brink of suicide.
Oh, that's happy. Oh,
and
geez.
It was written.
Jesus Christ, Ellie. Must you ruin everything
it was,
that Trump hasn't already ruined?
It was inspired by, do you remember there was a Diane Keaton movie called Looking for Mr. Goodbar?
Yes.
Yeah,
of course.
Okay, so
yeah.
She goes to the disco every night to forget about her dysfunctional life during the day. And we want me. I wrote it with John Lynn. He wrote, Saving the Best for Save the Best for Last, oh. Vanessa Williams.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Madonna. He wrote Crazy for You.
Yeah.
Anyway, but we had both written for Earth, Wind, and Fire. And we said, so let's write an Earth, Wind, and Fire song together.
Right.
I had just seen this movie. Everyone was using the word boogie. You know, in a song, but we didn't want to use it in the traditional
boogie fever,
sense.
Boogie down,
every
boogie nights,
at all boogie boogie boogie.
Yeah, yeah.
We did not want to use it to mean to dance. So I had seen that movie the night before. So we said, let's write it about someone who has no sense of themselves whatsoever,
right?
But yet goes out every night, brings home a different guy every night. And loses herself basically more and more. But when she goes to the disco, she enters a wonderland. She enters a state of mind where she forgets about everything.
Right.
So it's actually, that verse is very heavy, and it's written in a much more... Now, you know I know nothing. You know I write music. I don't know how to play.
Let's even fucking...
I can't
tell
you what a bar is.
This is insane. Hang on a second. Where did I read this? You don't... Okay, my head's just going to fucking explode. You don't read or write...
Or play music. But I hear every note in my head.
Fantastic.
I don't know how to do anything I do. I sold almost 1,000 paintings before someone said to me, because every time I would go to the art store, I would bitch that they don't have a certain color of pink. And finally, this poor woman who had been waiting on me for like 10 years... said, you do know that you mix colors together to get other colors. I was like, what?
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 So, no, nothing. You know, I'd never seen...
I didn't know that about you, and that's just fucking insane.
Color purple?
Okay, can we cut your brain open? Not tonight.
Yes, please.
On a future happy hour.
All right.
As long as you could freeze half of it and I could come back and see what the whole thing was
like,
about.
Like, we'll freeze half of your brain and Walt Disney's, put it together. Who the fuck knows, man? That's going to be insane.
Throw Timothy Leary in there.
This is things they write about you. Ellie Willis is a one-woman creative think tank, multidisciplinary artist and visionary thinker whose range of imagination and productivity knows no bounds. Grammy, Emmy, Tony, Webby Award-winning nominated songwriter, performer, visual artist, multimedia. Stop showing off! Director, collector, social artist, party thrower.
That one being the most important one.
Well,
the party thrower.
You throw a fuck of a party, man. I've been there. But what... Okay, so... What... okay, Detroit, obviously. Yes. You're in Lily's hometown.
Yes.
That's like where you say you got your love of... Because yes. I'm like, how does a little white lady write Earth, Wind, and Fire's biggest hits?
I wasn't a little white...
and the Pointer Sisters.
Yeah. I wasn't a little white lady when I was growing up. Yeah, so
You're a little white lady when you wrote these songs.
Yes. Yeah, the thing is, growing up in Detroit in the years that Motown was coming up,
right.
You cannot believe what it was like living in that city. It was
seeped into your blood, like lead water seeps into your blood now.
Really,
in Flint,
it was. People there, especially around my age, but even like the young kids, everyone has such a sense of living there that you descend from musical royalty. So
isn't that like so sad, like what... And it happened to Detroit. I know I have an actress friend. Actually, Aisha Tyler told me that whenever she has to cry for a movie, she thinks of Detroit.
Because, no, except.
And because she's like, oh, she just hears Marvin Gaye in her head. What's going on? What's going on?
You know how incredible Detroit is right now, though.
Right?
I mean, it is so on the upswing. It's crazy.
The people I know from Detroit, Billy West, my good friend, Lily Tomlin, you, like, there is such a visceral love and connection to Detroit if you're from there that I've never seen from other...
Any other city.
Like, I could give a fuck about... No offense, Buffalo, I can give a fuck about you. I mean, I love you and all. But
really, look at... When I was growing up in Detroit, it was the fourth wealthiest city in the United States.
Yeah.
It was absolutely a design capital. You know, someone would say they were from Manhattan, and it's just like, puh, who cares?
Yeah, whatever. Podunk.
So I think, you know, we just had... There was such spirit about living there. And, I mean, I never lost it. So it was like a personal stab, and I know a lot of Detroiters feel this way, when you would hear all the horrible things people were saying over the last few decades.
Right.
I like basically changed my whole career because of it. Because I spent 5 years up until a month and a half ago working on one project that was literally to stop people from defaming Detroit.
You've done all these. You premiered your passion project for your hometown, Detroit, the Detroit Institute of the Arts.
Fifth largest museum in the world.
You wrote and produced, Lockport, home of the world famous locks. That's where I'm from. Listen, don't get in the hometown shit with me.
Where? Locktown?
It's near Buffalo. Listen, my point is, you wrote and produced The D, a love song to the city featuring 5,000 musicians and...
Singers, all and lead singers.
You don't do anything fucking small. This is what I love about you.
Nothing small.
Yeah, I wish I could have been at these. You've had these. Oh my God! No, you've had these like huge, like with marching bands, with fucking like. I wish I could have been at all of them.
I wrote this song just because I was sick of what people were saying about Detroit.
Right.
I wrote it with one of my favorite collaborators named Andre Alexander, who I do my live shows with.
Right,
and. We went back and recorded it at 70 sing-alongs all over the city for a period of 2.5 years. So it literally, we would go from football fields into a delicatessen, from a college into a laundromat. It was just anywhere and everywhere, and people learned it on the spot.
Yeah.
Plus, almost every living Motown singer's on there. You know, contemporary rappers. It was just this big hodgepodge.
Yeah.
And, you know, because I thought, what can I do? You know, I know how to write songs. I know how to throw parties. So I'm going to throw these little sing-along parties and just get everyone to sing.
Right.
And it was amazing. And then finally having this premiere, which I never knew how, because this was a self-financed project.
Wow.
All my stuff, very few of my stuff isn't self-financed, which means I am broke 100% of
the
time.
That's fantastic.
So I didn't know how I could throw the party, and then the DIA stepped up, and it is this gorgeous, fifth largest museum in the world, and they gave me half of the museum, the whole like bottom floor.
Wow.
So it was incredible. But to bring my shit in and put it next to like a Picasso, like I'm covering a Renoir.
David Cassidy lunchbox. You just fucking move the Picasso.
Exactly.
Because I got some shit to, I got some kitsch.
Then they let me do anything.
But I love what Lily Tomlin said. Long time friend, fellow Detroit native. The basic mentality is one of not giving up, sort of hanging in there no matter how long it takes. Nevertheless, she persisted.
Yeah.
She's found a place where she can regenerate, where she can almost make it to her liking. You knew what a great city Detroit was and how real and gritty it was, and sure, it's going to come back. But it's almost like, you know, that's part of your...
DNA.
Yes. That Motown, like, soaked into your DNA, and that's why you're a black man. now...
Smokey Robinson, Allie Wills.
Yes, there's no difference. Can I just say, skin is lighter than mine, but
you know my favorite, Vanessa. You got to cue this up.
I have no idea. Okay. What this is.
What? Pointer Sisters.
Oh.
Neutron Dance. One of my favorite happy places in the world.
Written in under an hour. I thought it was a piece of shit throwaway song.
Oh, it made me so happy. It still makes me
so
happy.
Until I heard it on the radio as an oldie and I went, oh my God, they killed it.
I'm so excited about Neutron Dance. Can I just say that? Do you mind if I...
I love that you got two pointers in the same sentence.
I certainly did. Listen, I'm friends with Jody Hamilton, Carol Burnett's daughter, and I remember when they sang Steam Heat on the Carol Burnett Show. I fucking love the Pointer Sisters so much.
They were fantastic.
Try not to dance. I mean, come on, try. Come on. And now we're gonna get blown up by North Korea. So happy.
You know about the whole communist government thing with me, right?
Yeah. Oh, we'll get to that. We're just gonna sing now.
Okay. This is my favorite one to sing. This is September.
Just no time to stop and get away. Cause I work so hard to make it every day.
Woo-hoo!
Woo-hoo!
Motherfucker.
Someone stole my brand new Chevrolet.
I was so excited to work Chevrolet.
I got no place to stay. Ooh.
Well, it was worth writing it just to see me gyrating to it.
And it's hard to say.
Yes. Oh, Lord. I can't.
My chiffon is wet.
Dear God.
What was this about? What's the Neutron Dance about?
The Neutron Dance, it was not written for Beverly Hills Cop, which is what it was in and what it won a Grammy in.
Hello. Another Grammy for Ellie Wilson. Okay.
Written for a film called Streets of Fire.
Mm.
And all they told me was that there was a handsome guy, a pretty girl, and a black doo-wop band were the only people to escape a nuclear holocaust.
Oh, it's fantastic.
And they were on a bus riding
out of town.
This
is so relevant now with Donald Trump in office.
Oh, totally.
Oh, my God.
And so we're supposed to be writing
a
song.
When we hear that bomb's going to drop on L.A., can we play that?
We're going to play Neutron Dance.
It is what it's about.
Woohoo!
It is what it's about. What it's basically about is if your life is not together, someone can push the button at any moment. We could all go up and smoke, so get your shit together.
Get your fucking shit together, people.
Which is what the Neutron Dance is. But that song was incredibly autobiographical because I felt like my life was falling apart.
When
was
that? How old? What was happening?
1984.
Oh, everyone's life was a fucking mess in 1984. Jesus. What was the point of the 80s?
No, but it was the first time since I started having hits, which started like in 1979, basically.
Yeah. You're graduated high school.
That I was constant. Fuck you.
Well, fuck yourself. Allie Willis, go ahead.
I was already 80 at that point, but
no, you were not.
It was the first time I was getting over 100 songs cut a year, which meant I was a machine.
Jesus,
writing,
you
like,
really are.
500, 600.
How do you?
I'm still.
Can you,
a
for normal people, can you just take us into your songwriter brain? How the fuck do you do that? Not only how do you write a song, how do you write that many fucking hit songs? That's insane.
Well, and how do you write without knowing how to play? That, to me, is
I've read that, and I just...
But you know what? Once I know how to do something, I become very bored.
Well...
Almost instantly. Instantly. No. Doesn't work for me to know anything.
Yeah.
Never has.
Okay, you're just a savant of kind of weird proportions. Okay, wow. Can we talk for a second about the Pet Shop Boys? What have I done to deserve this? Because that's... Yes. I don't. You've written so many genres and so many. It's weird.
Well, that but, one. I mean, all these, they didn't even.
This is like the soundtrack of our lives. What you've written.
They didn't even know I was a songwriter. I was hired. I had just started painting, and my publisher had put one of my first paintings up in her office.
Right.
Their manager was looking for a United States publishing deal for them when they had their very first hit, West End Girls. And he saw the art up on the wall.
Yeah.
And she said, oh, well, you should go over to the artist's house. Thinking, once I get him in my house,
because
he was a mid-century modern freak, and, you know, my house is, and collection is of that era. And thinking, well, maybe she'll click with him, and he will realize she's a songwriter, and somehow that'll lead to Pet Shop.
Yeah, and then suddenly this just happens because you're Ollie Willis.
And then that is what happened. I got sent to England to do a portrait for their fan club stationery, which would have made it only...
Don't talk over your music.
Okay.
All right. Shut the fuck up for a minute.
I'm going to have a little crack.
What have I done to deserve this? Oh my God! All right, I have a thrill up my leg.
I have a thrill. Oh, a thrill,
Ellie. Jesus,
well,
you're
a
just
squirrel could bring
no.
Quite
I mean,
a
honestly,
thrill.
This word is overused, but you're a fucking genius. You're like I mean, honestly, I love this. What was this in the Washington Post?
Oh.
Ellie Willis is the most in 2015. Ellie Willis is the most interesting woman you've never heard of.
It's true.
Oh my God, Ellie Willis Howells. She's coping with a visitor who's never heard of Bubbles, her alter ego, an artist known for her sloppy brush strokes, nauseating color palette, and borderline offensiveness. Lily Tomlin, a dedicated collector, once called her the greatest artist of our time or any other time. I've gone to your art shows, and Bubbles is just the start. The Willis home is unofficially known as the Museum of Kitsch, a pink palace stuffed with unopened Afro combs, love boat puzzles, and space-age TV.
Yeah.
At the center is the Grammy-winning songwriter, internet pioneer, and party organizer. Your house. Okay. Vanessa, you wouldn't understand any of it, but it's the greatest. Like, what exactly? Like, what era is it? 60s, 70s?
No, kitsch?
It's lunchbox.
It was, well, the house was built in 1937 as the party house for MGM.
Okay.
So it's a classic deco streamlined modern house. The collection, which I've been collecting since the 60s.
Right.
Is not mostly 1950s, 60s, 70s memorabilia.
Everything from my childhood. I mean, I grew up in, I was born in 61, but I mean, it's all of the 60s and 70s shit.
Yeah.
I mean, and just like, oh my God, with David Cassidy just passing.
Yeah.
You have all the, oh.
No,
I had
we worked
all
together
his,
too.
Like, oh, did you really?
Yeah.
Oh.
And I got his wife, Sue Schifrin, at the time. Who's all a great songwriter. She wrote that Tina Turner song, Simply the Best. She wrote a lot of stuff.
Oh, did she? I didn't know that.
Commissioned me to do a portrait of him, a collage, actually, of him, for his 40th birthday. So I got to bestow that upon him. He had his 40th birthday party at a bowling alley in Montrose. Oh. Just throwing that in.
Okay, that's just a weird fact that is very interesting.
Is there actual
No,
cookies?
You know what it is?
Are there
Oh yeah, oh no,
yes.
Oh, there's actual cookies in there. Go get it.
Thank you.
Yeah, I listen. I was a thought I was a straight girl. Had Bobby Sherman and you know, Donny Osmond and David Cassidy posters on my wall.
Yeah,
but yeah, David Cassidy. I saying, hey, I think I love you into my hairbrush more times than can be. But yeah, we were saying that
period was incredible. Early 70s, 72, yeah, incredible.
Yeah, he's calling from the grave. David Cassidy's calling on the heavenly hotline to say, oh my God, you have Allie Willis. Hey, I think I love Allie Willis. And what am I so afraid of? Hey, I think I love you. Isn't that what life is made of?
Though it worries me to say, I've never felt this way.
Look at that.
You know.
Listen, I was so into black music at that point, I barely noticed that song. But, you know, I still collect it all.
So, all right, let's talk. I'm reading now from
and I'm
my
chewing.
Friend's like New York Post or whatever it is, or Washington Post. Willis grew up in New York on Sorrento Street.
No, of Detroit. Course.
Right, Detroit on Sorrento Street.
You said Willis grew up in New York.
In Detroit. I said this is...
She said New York.
New York.
I meant the New York. This was in the Post or the New York Times. I'm sorry.
Oh.
Of course you grew up in Detroit. We've covered
that.
But
I did live in New York for 7 years.
I'm spitting crackers out of my lips. Okay. Mm. The youngest of three, your mom, Rose, taught first grade, made special meatballs called satellites that were peppered with grains of rice.
So she would put food coloring on them. And then when the meatball would cook...
Gross.
The rice would pop out, so you'd have these little red, blue, green little satellites.
I just went to visit my 94-year-old mom, and she is under the impression that I want to eat all sorts of cream things that I potentially liked in the 70s. Like, Steffi, would you like the creamed tuna fish and carrot or the creamed chip beef on toast? I'm like, you know, Mom, that all makes me... but yes, right, I must have liked
chip
that.
Beef. I mean, who has chip beef anymore?
Cream chip beef on toast.
But that was what I did learn to cook in home ec class in eighth grade. That was the first thing.
Yeah. How'd that go, that whole being a traditional housewife for you? How'd that go? Didn't home ec train you to like penis and making casseroles?
Well, that's what it wanted to do, without question.
I understand. All right. You are a gay woman. I'm just
going to... No, I'm a bi woman.
Oh, you are? Okay.
Very bi.
All right.
But very gay. In my more recent...
Wait, I'm confused, because Prudence is your partner, right? Yeah. I've met Prudence. She's fantastic,
fantastic.
For many years.
Yeah.
But you don't live together. It's a weird...
No, that's why
I don't mean
works.
Weird. I mean, probably works better, like Catherine Hepburn.
No, that's why it works. Just the farther away you stay from each other, the longer you stay together.
Oh, that's fantastic. How long has that been?
20-something years.
Wow. Wow. Okay. Yeah. Not a romantic. Doesn't know exactly how many. Okay.
24.
Your dad, big mate Nate, ran a scrap yard and called you Cookie Duke.
Cookie Duke.
And liked to dance with you.
I
what's a Cookie Duke?
I have no idea, but it's what he called me for years.
All right.
Is that in that Washington Post?
I don't know what the fuck this is. Listen, I did some. I went deep state on you.
Holy moly.
So, you know what's weird? We have one thing in common. Yeah. For Willis, everything changed in the summer of 1964. Me too. My dad ran for vice president in 1964. But just before your senior year of high school, your mom fell ill, went to the hospital, died a few days later of undiagnosed heart problem. Only a few weeks after that, Big Nate fell for the mother of one of Allie's friends. Yep. He basically stopped coming home, moving in with her future stepmother. After Nate remarried, he and his wife threw out most of the Willis's family pictures and possessions.
Including Allie.
Willis believes her new stepmother's desire to wipe out Sorrento Street off the memory map is what inspired your compulsive desire to document her life. So that's where you think you... got your like pack rat. I'm gonna save all these things that mean something to me because you got that taken away.
Yeah, well, first of all, my dad was a scrap dealer, and I spent a lot of time in the scrap yard, so the being around other people's stuff that fascinated me instantly. But I definitely believe, because my past was completely thrown out when the stepmother came in, that is a lot to do with my collecting. But I'm like that with everything. I mean, I'm like with my work. You know, I have hundreds of terabytes. I have one whole room in the house is the computer. It's not.
Wow.
You know.
I mean, that's the other thing we haven't even covered yet, because you're such a songwriting genius, and that's obviously your, you know, Grammy hits, all that stuff. But you did Lily Tomlin's website. You were like a pioneer in the internet.
Early.
See, 90s. Not all old people are like I am about tech, Vanessa, about internet. She was a pioneer of the internet.
Well,
you really
Mark
were.
Cuban, you know Mark
Cuban?
Yes,
you consult all these giant corporations about...
Well, back in the day, yeah. And my partner was Mark Cuban and Prudence.
Right.
That's
heard
actually
of him.
How we met. Yes.
Right.
And we could not get arrested. I had a concept for a social network. This would have been 1992.
Wow.
And we had to explain...
They're like, that'll never go anywhere, Ellie. Social network.
No, nothing.
That's like that crappy Friends song you wrote.
Yeah. No. Forget social network. They didn't understand what the internet was. We went to every TV network. We went to every record company. We went everywhere. And people just said, it's a fad. How can you throw out your career, you know, chasing after this stupid internet thing?
Right.
But no one could understand what a social network was in 1992.
That, I gotta say, of all the this dystopian fucking shit show we're living through, the kids don't feel they have anything to live for. Like, honestly, besides how fucking hilarious and brilliant you are, I feel like this is so inspirational to just really go, don't fucking give up on your dreams. Don't, because people say you're crazy and that's not gonna happen, because you've been almost so far ahead of your time. People have told me I'm ahead of my time, but that's like, you know, 5 minutes or so. Which is not good. It's good to be on time. Right. And then you're not in your basement. But my point is, But I just love that when her family fell apart, Willis didn't retreat. Like, you know, whatever it is, your background is soaking in the Motown music from Detroit and your family falling apart. And, like, you are a genius that few people don't really, you know, and I think, like, who knows who's listening right now that's the next one.
Well, I think the thing is, and this was the blessing of coming up in Detroit, that I loved music so much, despite the fact that I did not know how to do it, it just made me feel good. So that's what I escaped into when things started falling apart. Just being in a car and having a radio on, you know, escaping a family situation.
Okay, so can I...
Yes.
Can I just say of the most inspirational things for the kids listening... that you are, once again, let's review, a Grammy, Tony Award-winning songwriter. Willis has never learned to read, notate, or play music, despite writing both music and lyrics for her expansive hit catalog.
Yes.
That's great.
So, that's fucked up. I mean that in a really the nicest way possible.
Yeah.
But
no, it is
that,
fucked
okay.
up.
So, you all
know,
right.
If I, it's hard for me to work with, like, a, let's say, a classically trained musician.
Right.
Because they don't want to know from feel. My thing is all vibe and feel. Like, there's a lot of people you work with and they'll go, well...
Has there been this conversation? I have a vibe. I went to Juilliard. You're like, well, fuck you.
I mean, I think it's fun. I do wish, I guess, that I knew how to play. Because if I work with someone, let's say... like, it's hard for me to work on my own musically anymore. Because I'm not willing to just sit there and plunk it out. So I love working with someone who plays in a style that I absolutely love. Then it's inspiring to me. But I'm definitely known for, like, picking up people's hands by the wrists and literally just jamming it down on a keyboard to, like, get the rhythm.
I should have you work with my mom, because when she tried to make me take piano lessons, I had a metronome.
Yeah.
And she would just literally be like, no, no, it's like this.
I can never do it.
It's a little mommy dearest. There was a little kind of tears on the piano keys. But that's not my point. Allie, my point is that you said, I had exactly three things from my childhood. I have a Ben Casey bobblehead, the character from that's really old now, popular medical show in the 60s. Mine has a little hole in his heart because I wanted to go out with someone that wouldn't go out with me, so I stuck a
pencil.
In it. So that stuck
the pencil through.
So that was pre-Les. Yeah. Okay. I have. Well, that was in your bi period, as you are now. Yeah.
No. The bi period.
Mm-hmm.
Is
okay.
A lot.
All right,
yeah.
Dr. Ben Casey, fuck stick, fucking kill you.
I got to meet Ben Casey. 1991. What? I'm in the Playboy Mansion, New Year's Eve.
Oh my god.
1990, going into 1991. Everyone, it's like literally, it's midnight.
Right.
Everyone starts screaming Happy New Year. And I turn around, and there is Dr. Ben Casey standing next to me. I'm Jesus screaming Christ. Like a lunatic. So I got to tell him the story about the doll.
How did he feel about that? A little creeped out?
When I said I stuck the pencil through the heart, he was definitely backed away.
Yeah, a little backed away.
You know?
Yeah. I don't feel like anyone doesn't have a weird story about the Playboy Mansion. Frank Stallone tried to pick me up right by the grotto.
Oh.
Yeah, he's just like Sylvester, but on steroids. Just
yeah,
like a little,
he's a nice like, guy.
No, he's a nice
he's
guy.
Nice guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
But I love the Playboy Mansion.
All right. Me too. You said I have the stereo that was in my family's living room. Did you have the stylus and the thing from 33 to 78?
A hi-fi,
honey,
yes.
That's be part of our thing with the 8-tracks later. We'll talk about the things with the...
Okay.
Well, 78.
Things were so blocky.
Preceded the A-tracks by about 60 years.
Yeah. Okay. And your typewriter you bought when you were 13, a red and white Royal. I had that. I still had to use no computer, sweet pea.
No, we had a typewriter.
Did you really?
I did. I had a typewriter.
I had to use whiteout on my little thin paper how to do mistakes.
How exciting was it when whiteout came out? You remember that?
Correcting mistakes. Yeah. Fantastic. Really?
You remember there was a little white tape you would put in.
Oh, yes.
And you could type the letter over.
Right, exactly. Yeah, exactly. That was in our guest room where I did my papers at the last minute. All right. Out in California, the parties began. You might see David Cassidy and Paul Pee-wee Herman Rubens. Elvira. These sounds like my parties. I've had the same people.
Well,
my parties.
You have the same people.
I have the same people.
Than I do.
Guests would sometimes be asked to bring a dish potluck. Leslie Ann Warren, a longtime friend, said, "And you expect to be humiliated. She's going to single you out, and you're going to have to play some crazy game or sing a song, and everything's going to be photographed. You expect it. The people that are attracted to Allie and the people who want to know her and get to know her are comfortable in Allie's world."
Yeah.
Yeah.
I do have friends, though. Like, do you know Tony Basil?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Hey, Mickey.
Hey,
yeah.
Mickey.
We were like inseparable then. She would stop coming to the parties because she was so... She said, "I'm going to have to play some fucking game. I'm not going to come."
God damn her.
So.
Hey.
Yeah.
Mickey, you're not so fine. You know what?
She wrote this chant, too.
My little, you know, deep lyrics here.
Literally the best dancer who ever lived. Seriously.
She's a good choreographer.
There was a brilliant choreographer. Locking, popping. This was not someone who learned how to do it. This is someone who started doing it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There was a, something went viral last year.
Yes.
72 dancing like she is 16. You should track that down. It's a phenomenal.
Fantastic. All right, that's our next happy hour, Tony Basil. Let's do this.
Basil!
Oregano, whatever.
You
listen,
that is someone you should have.
I know. Let's do this. Yeah. Let's get on this. Right. She knows her. Let's hook this up.
Hey, Steffi.
Hey. Hey.
Hey, Steffi. You're so fun.
It's only two claps, not the four claps that we've learned in the
Friends
song.
Different. Yes.
Get it right, America.
If you've been doing five claps, you're fucked up.
Yeah.
That's what we learned. All right, so yeah, in the story, they're talking about Prudence being your partner for 22 years. Naturally, met at a party thrown by Pee Wee Herman's.
Yes.
Pee Wee Herman's. Yeah,
I love that you called them Pee Wee Herman's.
I'm sorry. Paul Rubens, Pee Wee Herman. Yes. Oh my God. Elvira told me the greatest story ever about Pee Wee Herman, who's her other best friend?
Absolutely.
She said.
That's how I met
friends
him
for a long
through
time.
Her.
No, me too.
Because I was working with James Brown, just to throw another name in.
Yeah, wow. Sure.
And I videoed every minute, and then I invited like all my close friends over to literally sit there the entire day and watch every single minute that we were working together.
Yeah, fantastic.
And I walked.
You were the first reality show producer.
Oh, totally. Yeah. Literally.
You were the Osbournes pre-Osbournes.
Pre. 1978, I started filming myself like daily. But, no, so I walked into my kitchen, and I had heard about Paul Pee-wee, but I walked into my kitchen, and he was stirring a pot of chili. So she had brought him over to see the James Brown thing. So
right.
That's how we met.
Right.
So I was friends with her first.
Yeah, no, she's done the happy hour, of course. And Pee-wee's been to a party here with her as well, so it was the same thing.
Yeah.
It was like an acid trip. People were like, is that Elvira, Pee-wee, Mr. Grant, and also Meathead in the same? But so.
Well, you have great comedians at your party.
I do. I do. But, wait. Anyway, my favorite. So Elvira told me that she
Congress people. I might add.
Yes, thank you. Elvira got her therapist through Pee-wee, which I'm just gonna say right away. I'm gonna suspect if you get a therapist recommendation from Pee-wee Herman, you probably deserve what you're gonna get. But she anyway said she was talking to this woman. You know, she's been through a divorce and things, and she was going through some very personal things and talking to the therapist. And the therapist was sort of giggling, and she was like
giggling.
What? And then Pee-wee popped up from behind the couch and went, ha, 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 ha. And
how dare you.
I was like, wow, that seems really unethical, illegal, maybe.
That's wrong.
Maybe well-deserved something, but that's, I was like, okay, so.
I don't know. I can tell you that I'm loving this kind of cracker.
Thank you. Oh, well,
here.
That's important. You know why? And this is exactly what Prudence said about you in this article. So much heart and soul. She's so present in the moment. Nothing else matters. Isn't that perfect?
Yes.
That's exactly. Donald Trump, fucking lunatic, is going to blow us up. But you know what? This cracker is fantastic.
Yes. And if you cannot enjoy things like cracker.
That's
well,
right.
Not,
then go fuck
not
yourself.
Not the kind of cracker that he is.
Yeah, exactly.
But,
no, exactly. No.
No, you can't enjoy it in this day and
wait,
age.
Wait, can you tell me about Jennifer Hudson? Because she just, I love her. And she starred in The Color Purple that you wrote on Broadway.
Yes.
I mean,
both
she's
Jennifer Hudson and Jennifer Holliday.
Yeah.
Actually. But Jennifer Hudson in the latest version, which is the version that won the Grammy and the Tony, which is the exact same version as when we originally opened on Broadway, but a different director. And the second director took everything out that wasn't music, lyrics, or dialogue. No sets, no costumes, no anything. And it was a hit the first time it was out, but it wasn't a hit.
Right.
This time out, because everything was stripped away, so all you had were the actors, the music, the lyrics, the dialogue.
Yeah.
And it exploded.
Yeah.
So
she's amazing. I mean,
Jennifer Hudson, she was great. She brought a lot of audience in.
Yeah.
And there were three actresses, actually. It went from her to Heather Headley. Oh, my God. Do you know Heather Headley?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God. I never went so crazy for anyone in my life.
Mm-hmm. Well.
And then to Jennifer Holliday. But,
I mean, can I just say, can we just take a moment to sing?
Oh.
And I am telling you. I'm not going.
Now,
and
I also
you.
Wrote for her.
And you.
She had one other hit, but not of the size. Huh? And then I'm telling you I'm not going. But I wrote the other one.
Yeah.
But.
I'm just saying. We've
but
all...
yeah, so we've been friends for 30-something years.
I bet.
But Hudson, I didn't know before. And she was just really great.
Yeah.
Exciting.
You're going to love me. Yeah, you are. Yeah.
Have you seen Hudson and Holliday sing this together?
No.
Oh, yeah. No, no. On YouTube, they battle each other.
I'm not going.
It's great. Yeah.
What?
No way.
Blood.
We're part of the same time. How did we get to play other people's music? No one's ever done it.
We both have the same mind.
I know we in time and time. We've had so much to see.
What a voice.
No. And she still has it.
I'm not waking up tomorrow. No.
And finding that there's nobody there.
No way.
No.
There's no way.
I'm not living without you.
Oh, Lord. Oh, we gotta go to church.
Scream and shout.
You can say what you want.
Say what you want. It's going out.
Out. No way.
Let's go. Here we go. living without you.
And you
love me.
Yeah.
You can't tell me she put everything into that.
I want the footage of Stephanie singing this just now.
Well,
and I'm going to send it to her.
Not the like a pathetic.
I'm going to send it
to her. Oh, no. Listen. No. Pat Benatar has had to watch a video of me singing I Need a Lover with my radio station band from Rochester, New York in 1987. And I think there's a screenshot of her face just like. So I don't. She doesn't need to see.
Well, I would be most happy to send it to her.
Okay, you have a. I've got to get. Okay, you know what, Vanessa? We have to start doing blow, and we have to start going to Allie Willis's shows because they start at night.
Yes,
but you have a Love and Latkes Hanukkah Christmas shopping and singing comedy extravaganza coming up at Vitello's, where what's his name's wife was shot in Studio City.
Stop.
That's not important now.
I shouldn't be laughing. Robert
Blake.
Well,
Robert Blake's. Okay.
Beretta. You know that I do auctions throughout my show.
Yes.
And we are auctioning off a Beretta game.
Oh, that's in such poor taste.
Of course, but you know.
But your shows are the funnest shit, featuring sing-along stories, games, theme food, early holiday gift shopping from your, you know, the private vaults of the Allie Willis Museum of Kitsch. It's fucking the shit of life.
They're not normal songwriters.
How did I miss? You did a live show called Badia.
Yes, Badia, baby.
Excuse me. And Allie Willis's Super Bowl bounce back review.
Yes, that was after a horrible debut. It took me 37 years. In 1974, I wanted to be a singer.
Right.
I was very young. And so I had an album out. I went on tour. And at the fourth performance, I was so terrified on stage, I jumped off the stage. And I walked out of the door. And I thought, I'll take a year and I'll get myself together. And it took me 37 years.
All right. Well, you know what? Listen, all in your own time.
In 2011, I made a big deal about this being my big comeback show. Mm-hmm. And did it at, like, some theater. And it was the biggest disaster I've ever been involved in. There were 500 technical cues and not one worked. So the Super Bowl bounce back was me getting off my...
It's described as a one-woman show with 25 people in it.
Well, that was that one. Now I'm now it's with one other person because it's like, why am I singing the? First of all, why am I singing these songs? Everyone knows my songs, so we do them all as sing-along.
You know, it's fantastic.
And then why not do it to the record? Do it to the record.
You first returned to live performing after a decades-long absence, 2010, broke the ice by going back to your college, University of Wisconsin, conduct the world's school's 350-piece marching band through a medley of your hits at halftime before 82,000 fans.
Yes, but can I say one thing? I don't know how to read music.
We've covered this.
And marching band arrangements are different than the records.
Listen, I've watched at my alma mater, USC, I've watched what's her name from Fleetwood Mac?
Stevie Nicks.
Yes, I've seen her try to sing Tusk with the USC marching band, and she was fucking out of her fucking mind. Like, so I understand.
Well,
it's not hard. It's not
but
easy.
When I graduated, the stadium held 12,000 people. Not that that's easy, but I thought, okay, how hard can this be? You know, it's a little stadium, and I'm going to go. And I walk in, there's 82,000 people.
That's a lot.
I can't read music. So...
Okay, to other brag about my friend? In early 2000, Willis had 7 of her hits featuring the Earth, Wind, and Fire theme musical, Hot Feet, making her the first woman and the only fifth person ever to have written music for 2 shows opening on Broadway in the same season, along with Color Purple. As reported by
The New York Times. I hate theater, right? You know that I never, ever saw anything before writing that show.
Sure.
I did, musicals. Why are these people singing?
You digitally record complete orchestrations and very low-tech instruments like an old manual egg beater.
Oh, yeah. That's how we wrote the Color Purple on, like, egg beater, beer bottles. you know, smashing pots and pans.
Is she the most fascinating person you've ever met? I think, I mean, she seriously is.
It's very Brian Wilson.
She's the most
using unique instrument. That's fantastic.
Oh, that's someone I really like.
All right, so let's talk. Will, you're also an internationally known visual artist. Paintings, ceramics, motorized sculptures, furniture, widely collected. 2,000 pieces of art, Willis's soul, were done in tandem with her fearless alter ego, Bubbles the Artist.
Yes.
That's you.
Lily and RuPaul are the two foremost. RuPaul was in Architectural Digest like the month before last. And they said, like, who's your favorite artist? And he actually said Bubbles the Artist. So.
Right. Wait, you designed LilyTomlin.com, a nonlinear journey through Tomlin's life, characters, whatever, search for signs for intelligent life.
Yeah, before, and I think there was one or two other comedians that had websites. I mean, this was 90s, early.
No, and Vanessa, starting in the 90s, Willis consulted for Intel, Microsoft, AOL, and Disney. Because not old ladies are as technologically impaired as I am. You have some sort of other side of your brain that does that shit.
Right, but you know, I don't even know how to this day, like, put a program in. Okay, I have to have someone do it.
Well, they can help you. My millennials can help.
But I understand it at such a deep level that I was consulting for all these companies.
Someone, a journalist said, to understand where Willis is going, you have to open your mind to a degree of inventiveness that's frankly a little scary. And spectacularly fun. It is true. Most of us don't have, which is why we are going to cut your brain open on a future happy hour. Mm-hmm. Not anytime soon. You know, whenever.
Love that.
Have you ever worked with Nile
Rodgers? You brought me an Abby normal brain?
No, I would love to, though.
Who?
Nile Rodgers.
You've worked, can we just talk about, with everybody, Bob Dylan, James Brown, Herbie Hancock. I mean, what, do you have, okay.
Well, Herbie, can I tell you a quick Herbie
story?
Yes,
please tell us any fucking story.
So Patti LaBelle is actually who... Bonnie Raitt was the first person ever to do one of my songs.
Okay.
But, and that's a whole separate story. But Patti LaBelle heard some demos of mine. I couldn't afford to really put anything down on tape. But one of my friends ended up recording in a studio right next to where she was. She hears the songs. She invites me to come up to San Francisco where she's recording. And... so I could put some of these songs down on tape. And then she became the first artist to regularly do my stuff.
Right.
But I get up there. This would have been 1978. She says to me, I have a friend who's also up here. He's recording in Studio B. He needs lyrics. Can you, you know, go write with them? And I thought, fuck no. I'm finally, like, getting discovered. I'm not going to write with the friend. I'm, like, staying with Patti. So for 3 days, I'm avoiding going near this other studio. So one day I walk out into, I'm walking in the hall and the door to that studio opens and this guy walks out. I go, oh shit, it's him. And I duck right into the bathroom. So I'm sitting on the toilet because I had to go anyway.
Yeah.
And the door opens and I hear clunk, clunk, clunk. And all of a sudden there are these two male feet underneath the stall. So he's maybe like a foot and a half away from me. And he says, you know, Pat, he says, you're really great. You know, coming to Studio B. So I figure, okay, I got to go in. So I'm in there. I don't know who the fuck he is. I don't know anything. Well, I do. I don't know who it is. I don't know who it is.
Sorry. I'm sorry.
So we started writing immediately. They just started putting tracks on. So I'm sitting across from him, like 3 feet away. And I'm going, who is this guy? But, you know, he wants me to write. I'm going to make Patti happy. I'm going to do this. And about an hour and a half in, I really looked at him and I went, oh, my God, it's Herbie Hancock. And so I ended up writing half of the, like a third of the album. And he needed lyrics because he was the very first person to ever use a vocoder, which was an early synthesizer you would kind of sing into a tube and play.
Yeah.
So you could actually sing in tune. So that's what we were writing for.
But wow.
She never said it was Herbie Hancock.
So you got Grammy for Best Soundtrack, Beverly Hills Cop.
Yeah.
I mean,
That was a Patti song, too. Well, that was Neutron Dance and a Patti LaBelle song called Stir It Up.
Right. Yep. But I love that you've been called one of the most dangerous subversives living in the U.S.
Yes.
By a Russian newspaper.
Yes.
This brings us all magically full circle to how Allie Willis is going to help us take back America.
Yeah.
Because she's a fucking genius.
It wasn't just it was the official Pravda. Of the communist government. It was Pravda. Fantastic. And they mistranslated Neutron Dance as Neutron Bomb.
Oh.
And said that I poisoned the minds of youth by preaching the inevitability of nuclear war.
Oh.
All from Neutron Dance. And then I was singled out with Prince. And they said we were the two most dangerous people in rock and roll. And he got it for Purple Rain, which they said was synonymous with nuclear fallout.
I can't love both of those facts better.
It's one of my favorite things that ever happened to me. Seriously. For a Kitsch lover, can you imagine how great something
fantastic.
Like that is?
This is just fantastic. Nice. Okay, go to alliewillis.com.
Yes. And if you're in Los Angeles,
yes,
tomorrow night, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday night, November 30th through December 2nd, I'm upstairs at Vitello's, and they're like party performances. My parties as a performance.
And if you can't make that one, there are upcoming ones, and there is just upcoming brilliance until we cut her brain.
The crackers are upcoming.
Future happy hour. We love you.
Well, I love you, and I cannot thank you for having me.
Well, listen, you know what? It's always September when you're here at. And can I say buddy on before we leave?
Yes. Absolutely.
What the fuck does that even mean? I love you, Allie Willis, so much. Well, I so body ah you.
I will tell you the body ah story next time.
Next time.
Yes.
Love you. Happy fucking happy hour. Happy Allie Willis.
Yeah, happy hour.
Now. Oh.